Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Last week, Delaware broke ground on a new Delaware Hospital for the Chronically Ill. The $90 million project will deliver a three-story facility with 120 beds to replace the current building built in 1961. Earlier this week, I was joined by David Newnham, Deputy Cabinet Secretary for the Delaware Department of Health and Social Services, to learn more about the new hospital and what it's expected to mean for its patients. When people hear about the Delaware Hospital for the Chronically Ill, I'm sure some people are not quite clear what that is. Could you give us a quick overview of the hospital's mission and who it serves?
Sure. So the Delaware Hospital for the Chronically Ill, which is fondly referred to as DHCI, has been a cornerstone of care in our state for nearly a century. In 1931, the Delaware legislature created the Old Age Welfare Commission, which soon purchased the land to build what was then called the State Welfare Home. It later became the State Home and Hospital for the Chronically Ill, and today we know it just as the Delaware Hospital for the Chronically Ill. The campus and original hospital in the Prickett Building dated back to the early 1930s, and today the Prickett Building is used for ancillary non-residential care services as well as administrative space. Then in 1961, residents moved to what then was a brand new Candy Building on the campus. 64 years later, we are now preparing to move residents to a brand new facility designed to meet the needs of today and tomorrow. So the long-term care profile of those needing facility-level care looks a lot different than it did 20 or 30 years ago. So many more people are aging in their homes with in-home support services. So long-term care across the spectrum looks very different. And then DHCI itself is different even from that. So we serve those that cannot be served in community or home settings and also face challenges in private nursing homes. Some of those challenges could be justice involvement, histories of substance abuse and mental health, acquired and traumatic brain injury, really complex medical needs, and also those that are needing long-term care but are very young, that they have social challenges. It could be really challenging to meet some of their social needs.
How vital is it to have a facility like this to serve those various kind of populations that you mentioned?
So one of the things we always talk about in our admissions committee is if not here, where? And the answer to that is typically in an acute care hospital setting, which is certainly not the least restrictive setting we want these individuals to live their lives in.
You mentioned the current hospital building dates back to 1961. What are some of the issues a building of that age presents to delivering the best care possible to the patients who are there?
That's a great question. So the Delaware Hospital for the Chronically Ill is a five-star CMS rated facility. So it has received the highest level of nationally recognized rating from the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services. And that is with all the environmental challenges that exist within the structure. So some of those challenges are the licensed bed count is 175. That includes having three and four individuals in a fairly small room, which would in no way meet today's level of care. So we have to lower the census to be able to spread out across the facility and not have people on top of each other. Another issue is with it being a single story with fairly low ceilings, our maximum bariatric capacity is fairly low. So we aren't able to serve those above a certain weight. We also have a lot of other environmental issues just with the structure of where the nursing stations are located, lack of ability to kind of lock certain units down. We don't have any locked units at DHCI. So we have challenges admitting too many individuals that have wandering issues.
The new hospital is a $90 million project that's going to produce a three-story building with 120 beds. In what ways will it address those issues you just mentioned?
So we're integrating state-of-the-art adaptive equipment to support both the residents and the staff, including eight bariatric rooms specific for those needs, advanced Hoyer lifts that enhance both resident and staff safety, new systems that replace portable oxygen tanks with built forced wall air. Everything our residents need will be accessible in one building. Right now, they have to leave the Candy Building to access some of their therapies and other things. So physical and occupational therapies will be right there in the building. All the dining areas with a full service kitchen will be in the building. Believe it or not, our kitchen is in a separate building. So meals are prepared in a separate building and transported outside in the elements to get to the residents today. The canteen for non-mealtime food and beverage will be in the building. a multi-purpose auditorium, and we'll have additional Snoozlin rooms. Currently, we only have one in the building. We'll have two additional ones.
You alluded to earlier kind of the change in the way care is handled these days, the standards for care. Can you talk a little bit specifically how those changes are going to be reflected in this new hospital, how it's going to look on a day-to-day basis for a patient there? What are some of the prominent things that will affect them on a day-to-day basis? Things like, I guess, you mentioned some technology. How about the, things like style of care and things like that?
Absolutely. So the care has always been five star. What occurs inside the building is absolutely the top tier of what one can expect in a long-term care setting. And that is due to the amazing dedicated staff and our families and our resident council driving that. So what they can expect is just a it's more pleasant environment. There'll be three courtyards. There are lake views. The lighting, a lot of natural light. The building is set up into neighborhoods instead of units, which will be very home-like. The residents will have a lot of say in what that look and feel is, and also what we name those sections as their home. So just a lot of not only improved technologies and adaptive equipment, but just a more pleasant environment.
I understand that parking has also been an issue, and that's one that's going to be addressed at this new facility.
Absolutely. So, in addition to the new Delaware Hospital for the Chronically Ill, there's been some addition on the campus, including the new public health lab and the new Dynrac lab. So, parking has absolutely been a challenge and a sore spot. So, the staff and families are very excited for us to announce 190 additional parking spots.
And that seems like such a small thing, but for people who have to interact with it on a regular basis, that is no small thing.
It isn't, when you're coming to work, particularly in the elements, and you just want to get inside the building, and you've got to walk a long way or fight for parking, it's not fun at all.
So tell us a little bit about the timetable for completing this, and I guess what the transition will look like when that comes about.
Sure. So construction will take approximately 18 months. We look forward to cutting the ribbon on a beautiful new facility in early 2027. So over the next 16 to 18 months, we're going to welcome 100 construction workers onto the campus each day, supporting good jobs and fueling local business in the town of Smyrna. When it comes time to transition the residents, it's something we've done before. We'd used to have three long-term care facilities, and we have consolidated down to one. So we've kind of become experts on mitigating transfer trauma and making the transfer from one facility to the next as smooth and seamless as possible. We're engaging the community, we're engaging the families, we're engaging the resident councils, we're engaging volunteers. We expect it to be a very smooth transition.
And I imagine during the construction, there's not a lot of issues for the patients. Really, the major thing for them is the move when it happens, right?
Absolutely.
How about the funding for this? Tell us a little bit about how the funding breaks down to make this possible.
Sure. So the project is roughly $90 million. We received $50 million in American Rescue Plan Act funds in 2021. Then we received $30 million from the Delaware Bond Bill Capital Improvement Committee in 2023, and then an additional $10 million in congressionally directed spending for the state-of-the-art equipment inside the new building, which was championed by U.S. Senator Chris Coons, along with Senator Tom Carper, and then U.S. Congresswoman, now Senator Lisa Blunt Rochester.
What'll happen to the old hospital and the other older building you mentioned on the campus? Is there currently a plan for what will happen to them and how they can be perhaps repurposed?
So there's lots of ideas. The Prickett Building is currently used for non-residential, non-clinical services as well as office space. And we envision the Candy Building used for something similar. It could be a mixed-use space. We probably will do an RFI to see what the interest or the need is in the community to see if that space could be of support.
Is there hopes that having that space to kind of noodle with will, give you some opportunities to try maybe some different things or new things that just weren't possible in the current setup?
Absolutely. I think in minimum, it will provide us an opportunity to lessen our need for leased space in the area. And at maximum, it'll meet some unmet needs in the community that we're able to blend into the campus.
I want to wrap up with the idea that, obviously, the primary focus is always the patients and their care. Ultimately, how significant a change will this new facility be for those who need it the most, the people who are there and engaging with care day to day?
I think that sometimes the incredible work that goes on at Delaware Hospital for the Chronically Ill, the incredible dedication from the staff, the care that actually goes on there is shadowed by the environmental challenges and by the institutional look and feel of the facility. When we say this will be a state-of-the-art facility, this will be a state-of-the-art facility. I think we're going to have to really think about our admissions process, because I think people are probably going to be, knocking on our door wanting to come to the hospital for the chronically ill. So it's about building a space where our residents can feel at home, where their independence is respected, and where our staff can provide the exceptional care without any barriers or limitations. It's about meeting today's need and tomorrow's need for long-term care in the state-of-the-art facility. And our current governor, Matt Meyer, who, as you know, made access to quality care for Delawareans a priority of his administration. It's a priority to meet those with the long-term care needs in a space that honors them and is person-centered.
Thanks to DHSS Deputy Secretary David Noonan for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. We delve into new research from Christiana Care that helps explain why certain areas of Delaware face higher odds of advanced breast cancer. That's next on The Green, here on Delaware Public Media.